All right, Rob, I got another question for you.
All right.
How many times a week should someone work out to be effective?
That is an excellent question. I get it a lot, and I'm sure you guys do as well. The easiest answer that doesn't really give an answer is it depends on your goal, right? But we'll start with what is the minimum effective dose? If you are working out once a week, you're probably going to be fighting a very slippery slope of fitness, and you're probably not going to be able to reach your goals, and you might become less fit. Granted, that's better than not working out at all. So I would say the minimum effective dose to work out is going to be twice a week. Granted, you know, you do need to work out with a certain level of intensity. And if you are fitter, like if you consider yourself someone who works out regularly and you're working out twice a week, that intensity better be high. So that's the second thing is the less you work out, the harder your workouts need to be to maintain your level of fitness. So keep that in mind. Right. So if you normally work out 4 or 5 times a week and you would rate them a 7 out of 10 in terms of difficulty, and all of a sudden you have to work out less because work, family, whatever's getting in the way. So now you're going to working out twice a week. Your 7 out of 10 needs to become a 10 out of 10. Otherwise, you will find your fitness start to slip. So there is a caveat there on that. So I'd say minimum is 2, but you got to find a way to boost that intensity.
Wait, hold on 1 second. So you're telling me that I screwed myself over by getting fit? I should have just not gotten fit like when I was younger, and then that's it, just get by with
no,
it.
No good deed goes unpunished. You know, I'm not going to get into the nuances here, and I can't remember the actual percentages, but I did read a study where when you work out twice a week, you work out once a week and you're effective with your minimum effective dose, so total body training, you're starting to go up the slope of fitness. If you work out twice a week, total body training, it is a higher percentage than 1% than 1 time a week training. If you work out 3 times a week, as opposed to the 2 times a week, it's a slight increase, but not as much as most people would think. If you work out 4 times a week, there is very, very little increase in fitness as opposed to 3 times a week. And then when you start working out 5 times a week, there's a point of diminishing returns, right? So some people think that the more I train, and obviously the workout program itself is a huge component to this, right? Because there's smart way of training and there's stupid ways of training. But when somebody thinks I need to work out every day in order to get fit, that is not the actual case. Talking about what you're saying is minimum effective dose. When you say that, I think of there's 2 training days, but that means that I'm recovering for the rest of the days. Correct. Which recovery is when you start seeing some of that adaptation.
Correct. On the flip side, if you don't do anything hard, you have nothing to recover from. Correct. is another side there. But yeah, so there's 2 components, right? There's exercise, which exercise is a stress, and then you have to manage that stress. Right. So if you are working out 5 times a week, but you're not managing the stress of exercise, you are going to be doing your body a disservice in that sense. And that's where they get these, I'm going to use the term stupid, but you get those stupid studies that always come out with the clickbait headlines that are, if you work out too much, you're going to die of a heart attack,
right?
Because it's that U curve where it shows that people who work out a lot end up dying a little bit younger because, well, they probably weren't able to manage their stress, or it was a small sample size, or who knows. But there is information that you should take aware of is the more you work out, the more you have to focus on stress management. And if not, I'm talking about like work stress management, exercise is a stress that you have to manage that recovery. If you're working out 5-6 times a week and not sleeping, right, that's going to do a number on you. And that's why, you know, a lot of military people have issues with their health is because they are working out 7 days a week and not sleeping and being very physically active during the day. You know, that's going to do a number on their system 10 years down the line.
Right. I also think that a different, when we look at training programs specifically, is when somebody discusses working out, you could say that I essentially work out 6 out of the 7 days only because BJJ to me is a workout session, right? Some more cardiorespiratory endurance, but also there's also a lot of isometric movements there. I find myself fighting to survive in the same position, and I walk out of there with my chest, with a great pump in my chest, but because I was trying not to get choked out. And then the next day I'm doing a total body lifting workout. And then day number 3, I'm doing a 30-minute zone 2 training. And then I'm rinse and repeat the next 3 days, right? So yes, I'm working out every day, but the stimulus is a little bit different. So one day is strength and hypertrophy. The other two days are BJJ. And then the third days are more, I do it more for cardio health and heart health is my zone two training. So it just depends on how you're labeling training. Correct. If you're literally just sweating once a week, it may not be enough for you.
Especially if you're in Miami where brushing your teeth is a sweat-inducing
correct.
Activity.
Correct. Right.
But yeah, so, and remember, the first thing I said was minimum effective dose, right? And also it depends on your goals. Right. Two workouts a week is not, you're not going to be a great bodybuilder if you're working out twice a week. You're not going to be a great power lifter or CrossFitter. You're not going to be getting that much better at football if you're working out twice a week, right? You need to up that frequency if your goals start to change, right? If your goals, you want to put on muscle mass, you're going to have to hit those body parts, right? You're going to have to lift heavy at least, you know, each section of your body at least once or twice a week. So now you're looking at squatting, pressing, pulling once or twice a week. Now you're looking at 5-6 sessions. That needs to happen if your goals are to get bigger, right? If your goals are to get stronger, you have to lift heavy multiple times a week while managing recovery, right? If your goal is endurance performance, if your goal is to be a triathlete, you probably have 6 to 9 sessions a week that you have to do. And if you're not doing that, you are going to be shortchanging your ability to reach those goals. But again, if you're not managing stress, you're also going to be reducing your capacity to reach them. So on a minimum general health perspective, right, twice a week workout combined with physical activity. Because if you're not physically active, if you're sitting behind a desk all day, if you're then going home and sitting on the couch all day, two workouts isn't gonna fix that. It's gonna help, but it's not gonna fix it, right? It's reintroducing physical activity into your daily life from everything. And you have experience, Mike, with doing that with your camps, is finding ways to get your clients to be more active.
Yeah, and the funny thing that you bring up camps, and that's one that I was gonna direct it to, is on our days from not lifting, so what I would consider non-training days, I still have them doing something because it plays into the psychological effect, right? These people join my camp for the, let's call it the fat loss ones. They join the camp to lose fat, but yet one day I have them sitting on the couch all day long. It's counterintuitive to their psyche of, if I'm trying to lose weight, but I'm not burning any calories. So I'll assign them 2 10-minute walks, or, you know, 1 10-minute, 1 30-minute walk. I'll assign them a zone 2 cardio on a bike, on a spin bike for 20, 30 minutes. So I'm not taxing their CNS. I'm giving them an active recovery day, but they still feel like, I got a bead of sweat coming down my face. I psychologically, this is how they manage stress. And I get some of those. Most of the time it's females. I'm not generalizing here, but most of the time it's females that they feel the need to work out every day to keep the fat off of them. So it's, how can I give them that prescription while not tapping into overtraining and making sure that they're getting the recovery that they need? And that's when these slow, light cardio days come into play.
One thing that I thought of when you were speaking there was introducing the walking on the rest days. Right. And the importance of physical activity and the importance of step count. Right. We're talking about workouts here. If you're working out twice a day, but are incredibly physically inactive the rest of it, it's going to be a tough fight. If your goal is 10,000 steps, but you're not working out, that's also going to be a very tough fight. Right. So it is mixing the two components there of having a physically active lifestyle on top of working out. Either one on its own is not going to be enough to get you into a state where you probably feel confident in your health physically. You need to work out and you need to be active.
100%. There's a lot of older folks that, when I say older folks, I'm talking about myself, guys my age, that they go for a 30-minute walk listening to a podcast, hopefully ours, and they consider that a workout. If you've been sitting on a couch for 20 years, then maybe that's a stimulus. Maybe. But progressively, you need to increase the intensity of the workout. So that walk should maybe now be a little jog, or should maybe be uphill, or should maybe be with a weighted vest. And I'm not telling you to push yourself to injury, but I'm telling you, you need to have some sort of progressive overload in order for your body to recognize, oh shit, there's a stimulus, I need to adapt to it. Because if you're going to tell me that for 6 months, all you've been doing is walking and you consider that fit, I guarantee you, you haven't lost a pound and you're not getting any healthier with just a walk. It needs to be incorporated with some sort of training activity.
And I think depending on where someone is in that journey, like for me, I see this trajectory of, if someone hasn't done anything for like 20 years, then okay, walking is always going to be better than nothing, right? And I think that walking is underrated, oftentimes underutilized. So walking is better than nothing, but from walking, we can progress into a jog. And this could be on a bike also, right? Just kind of speaking generally here. But then a long-term run might be better. Now we're talking about the stimulus. But then a sprint is also going to be good. But then eventually we want to throw in the weights. And then eventually we want to do all of those things where you're walking. In some cases, you're going for a jog, the zone two. In other cases, you're going for this sprint. And sometimes you're going to be lifting as well. So it's almost like, where is someone in that journey? But as long as they're moving in the right direction, I think that's like the best thing. But people forget about the stimulus factor. People forget, like, you gotta, it sucks. But if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. Yeah. And they don't, right?
You know what my issue lies with, and not, this isn't a jab at you, Eric, but my issue lies with walking is better than anything, than nothing, is that people stop right there. And they think to themselves, well, I'm walking every day for 20 minutes. Listen, there's a lot of health benefits to walking. This is why it's in every single one of my programs, and this is why I do it every day. But that doesn't mean that it's going to push the needle on longevity, right? Yeah. So you need to create some sort of stimulus. And the reason that I believe, one of the reasons that I believe that a lot of people don't graduate into the next step is because that next step hurts. Meaning it physically takes strenuous work for you to be like, oh, I'm going to go run hill sprints. The reason I use hill sprints is because your chances of pulling the hamstring or hurting yourself are less on a hill than on a flat surface. But to progress to whatever that next movement is, whether it's a spinning class or whatnot, now you're going from like, oh, this is a cool little walk. I can listen to my, you know, podcast of the day and I can think about my thoughts. That's great. That next step is painful. So people think, oh, this is better than nothing. I'm going to do this and still overeat, be less active, right? And now you have not increased another day in your life because you haven't created any stimulus. And when we talk about weight training with the elderly, again, elderly people my age, 48, 58, 68, when we ignore the weight training aspect of it, you're introducing a lot of risk into health factors that you don't even know are there by not lifting or doing some sort of resistance training, which could even be body weight squats. I see this a lot in firefighting. It's one of my passions. We could talk about this in another podcast. When it comes to the elderly and weight training, or as you're getting older and ignoring the fact that you should be doing some resistance training. And this is the time now in our 40s and our 50s. That's where I'm at. This is where a lot of my old football buddies that I look at them and I want to smack them around and say, what the F are you doing? And even if it's for your children, you're ignoring the fact that we need some sort of stimulus, resistance stimulus, in order to take us into our 60s and 70s and hopefully 80s with the ability to walk. Because the minute you lose that ability to walk, you're in a nursing home. And now your clock is ticking. You're going to end up in diapers and you're going to die of pneumonia because you're laying inactive in bed. I've seen it happen personally and with our patients. Because you don't squat or don't do resistance training earlier in your elderly or younger in your elderly life, like at my age. Yeah.
You didn't put the time in your 20s and 30s. And yeah. On the side point, it's very tough to track all that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to self-promote a little project I'm working on. Mm. I
please.
It's very tough to track how fit you are across the entire scope of fitness, right? You start, and what do I mean by the scope of fitness, right? The CrossFit has the 10 general physical skills. Andy Gelpin talks about the nine common like adaptations to exercise or exercise goals. I say there's generally 11 pillars of fitness, stuff like power, strength, flexibility, balance, body composition. It's tough to track all that. I'm developing a pretty damn cool tool that makes it easy to track that over your lifetime. It's called Homebase. Homebase.fit would be the website for it. And you can actually take a look at it and start to look at how you can build your own profile that's able to track your fitness accurately, because I don't think fitness trackers do a good job of actually tracking fitness, right? A sleep score is not your fitness. It's important, but it's not your fitness to actually track your fitness over 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So you have an informed, you can be informed daily on what your workout should look like, but at the same point, you should also be informed of how your where the weak links are in your body as you start to age. How do your power numbers stand up? Like if you're 50 and your power numbers are low, your risk of being in a home start to increase because your risk of not being able to get out of a chair increase, right? And comparing that to people your age, your fitness, older and younger is that's what I've been working on.
So it gives them tests in order to do
correct
on themselves, like air squats or back squats,
correct,
with a load, or hey, you should be able to hang from a pull-up bar. Give those types of examples.
Exactly, yeah. So there's over the 11 pillars. There's numerous assessments per pillar that you just can select at any point, submit your score for it, walks you through how to do the test, submit your score, and then it gives you
plots you
Correct. It gives you where you stack up against people, against like the standardized norms, where we feel you should be based on, you know, what the ideal man should be like, kind of like the Vitruvian man, Leonardo da Vinci, ideal proportions. What should the ideal athletic male be at a certain age? And then it gives you what your weak links are in that chain.
I love it. Are you taking investors?
We're working on it. We're getting there.
Website live?
It's live.
What is it?
Yeah. Homebase.fit.
Homebase.fit. You heard it here first. We heard it here first. Homebase.fit. Go check it out.
It's pretty dope.
We definitely will once we're done here.
Yeah.
Very cool. Proud of you, Rob. Damn it. Rob's always on the edge of this new technology and shit. That's why I love this guy.
I was going to show it to you guys today. I needed to make sure I was ready to show you today.
My favorite nerd.
It's been going on in the background for quite a while, and finally think I found the right formula for it.
I love these surprises. That's awesome, man. Good for you. Very cool. I hope we answered the question.
Yeah. Well, like I said, how many times a week should you work out? Yeah. And one thing here is there's classifications definitely. You need to lift weights probably minimum twice a week.
I agree with that.
You need to be physically active every single damn day. Physical activity is not a workout. Physical, like, think about where humans came from, right? Where did we come from as a species? We were active every single day. We are now trapped behind a desk every single day. Your physical activity, you're walking, you're gardening, you're playing with your kids. That's not a workout. That counters your job, right? 100%. That counters the inactivity, right? And that needs to think about that. What is the stress? What is the stimulus of sitting behind a desk for 8 hours? It's a big stress. Now you need to be physically active, the same level of stress to counter that, right? So that might be an hour or two on your feet to counter the 8 hours of sitting, right? So think about that. And then on top of that, you need to fight age, poor nutrition, and everything else that you do, which is going to be the resistance training. The resistance training is probably the most important to help you age. So minimum twice a week for that. And then we're talking zone two cardio, if that's your cup of tea, which I'm getting on that bandwagon a bit. Not much. I still much prefer higher intensity, short interval training. Throw me on Tabata. Mm-hmm. You know, give me Tabata row any day over 40 minutes in zone two. But that's separate, you know, personal preference. You need to have that cardio stimulus probably at least 3 to 4 times a week as well.
100%.
Right? To actually have, and now, you know, 1 to 2 zone twos and then a couple high intensity interval training. And that is a recipe for general physical fitness. That's not elite health. That's not elite fitness. That is just trying to be healthier. And we talked about being active 7 days a week, lifting weights twice a week, and doing something cardiovascularly challenging 2 to 4 times a week. It ain't easy, but you can definitely fit that in, because we're not talking about working out for an hour and a half, right? In 30 minutes, you can have a great resistance training session. And if you're not sure how to do that, DM Mike or me or Eric, we can tell you how to have a good workout in 30 minutes. Right, cardio-wise, the zone two stuff, you can listen to a podcast. Or like I said, I'm a big fan of Tabata. In 10 minutes, I can have a great fucking cardiovascular pump going on that I know the benefits are going to be there for the next 24 to 48 hours before I got to do it again. It doesn't, like, you can lift 30 minutes before work and then 10 minutes after work, hop on the rower, just do 2 minutes as hard as, like, a little warm-up. The effective dose of 1 minute as hard as you can on a rower or an air bike is so freaking potent. Especially if you're fit, you got to work up a little bit, but just 1 minute as hard as you can. That cardiovascular stimulus is enough to counter a whole lot of bad shit that's going on. So it needs to be a lot in terms of, these are a lot of sessions, but the sessions do not need to be long. They just need to be intelligent.
People have a tendency to overcomplicate things, and like what I said earlier, is create those barriers where they feel they need to go to a high-end gym. It's not. You could do what Rob is saying right now, walk outside to your backyard and knock out 3 different movements of Tabata, and you're done in 12 minutes. Yep. Jump in your shower and you go about your day. Literally takes you 18 minutes to get that whole workout in.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, give an example. Do 3 tri-sets in the morning of body weight or lightweight exercises for your workout. If you have a kettlebell at the house, let's say you do body weight reverse lunges, push-ups, and kettlebell swings. And then the next one is lateral lunges, kettlebell row, and crunches, or some sort of ab exercise, glute bridges. Let's throw glute bridges in there. And then you finish with Russian twists, Jefferson curls, and high planks, just 3 separate tri-sets. And then in the afternoon, you go for, you know, your zone two cardio, if you can do that, or something else.
You're talking less than 20 minutes.
Correct. You're saying 30 minute total invested for 2 separate workouts in a day.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's less time than someone who's working out once a day for an hour and a half, just not doing it right.
100%. So awesome. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Eric.
Rock and roll, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fitness Fiasco podcast. You can find more information about the topics covered today and in any other episode on our website, fitnessfiasco.com. If you're looking to connect with our hosts, you can reach Eric on Instagram at Eric Bustillo. That's E-R-I-K-B-U-S-T-I-L-L-O. Mike on Instagram at Mike Osuna Fitness. That's M-I-K-E-O-S-U-N-A-F-I-T-N-E-S-S. And Rob on Twitter at Rob Strength.